Radio Prague News.
The OECD has criticized the Czech Republic for eliminating socially disadvantaged children from the mainstream of education. A majority of regional hospitals did not increase doctor salaries in January, as agreed with the Ministry of Health. And the Czech police have charged a group of 15 women with supporting fascist ideology. The Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development has reported that the mainstream education system in the Czech Republic eliminates socially disadvantaged children. According to an OECD evaluation given to the Education Ministry on Monday, socially disadvantaged children often end up in special schools for the disabled, although they suffer from no mental handicap. The report is based on information from 2010. However, this particular complaint has been made by numerous organizations for many years. The international report also says that too many Czech children are in schools for gifted students and warns against plans to compile rankings of schools based on testing. Deputy Education Minister Ladislav Niemec says that the ministry is already working on most of the recommendations made in the report. A majority of regional hospitals did not increase doctor salaries in January, as per the agreement reached with the Ministry of Health last year. In early 2011, hospital doctors threatened to resign en masse if the ministry did not raise their salaries by 10%. Ultimately, they were to receive rises of 6.25%. However, hospitals in various regions are not paying the increases due to the decrease in money they are receiving from insurance companies. Some hospitals are negotiating subsidies with regional governments to at least maintain last year's salary levels. The Czech police have charged 15 women with supporting Nazism. The suspects are believed to be involved in a group called Resistance Women Unity, a women's branch of the Czech neo-Nazi movement National Resistance. The police say that the organization avows the ideals of other Nazi-era women's organizations espousing the racial superiority of Aryan women. Most of the women aged 21 to 32 are suspected of organizing far-right events and producing and distributing leaflets and posting texts promoting the RWU on the internet. Some of the suspects are believed to have ties to the militant right-wing organization White Justice, which is believed to have organized acts of terrorism. If convicted of promoting and supporting the suppression of human rights, they could face up to 8 years in prison. Fugitive Czech businessman Radovan Krejčíř was arrested by South African police on Sunday on suspicion of involvement in an armed robbery in Pretoria last year. Two other men were also detained in connection with the case, in which six individuals held up an electronics store and demanded roughly £500,000 from the owner. A source close to the investigation reportedly told the South African press that the robbery was an attempt to recover money that the shop owner owed Mr. Krejčíř. The 43-year-old Krejčíř is also under investigation for insurance fraud in South Africa and was convicted in absentia in the Czech Republic of extensive fraud and conspiracy to murder. He escaped the country and has been living in South Africa since 2007, where authorities have thus far refused to extradite him to the Czech Republic. Now turning briefly to the weather. Conditions over the coming days are expected to be cloudy with occasional snow and daytime temperatures hovering around the freezing point. My name's Christian Falvey. That's the end of the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, teachers are up in arms over the government's plan to phase out the vast majority of special schools and integrate as many of these children as possible into the education mainstream. We'll look at what's behind the protests. We'll bring you a roundup of the sports news, and this being World Radio Day, we'll be talking to a journalist par excellence who last week picked up the prestigious 2011 Ferdinand Peroutka Award for Journalism, Czech radio journalist Jan Bednář. And of course, we'll end today's show as usual with another Czech lesson, so please do stay with us. Thousands of teachers around the country are up in arms. They're unhappy about the government's plans to gradually phase out special schools or schools for children with a mental or physical handicap and integrate as many of these children as possible into the education mainstream. The high number of special schools for children with light to heavy physical or mental handicaps and the policy of automatically sending problem children to such schools has long been a matter of controversy and has elicited heavy criticism from the European Commission. There are currently 34,000 children studying at these special schools, and according to an expert study, approximately half of them need not be there. They're children with learning difficulties or disabilities, which could be overcome with the help of an assistant. Many of them are Roma children who get sent to these schools almost without question. After years of inaction, the government has finally moved to address the problem, ordering a gradual phasing out of these special schools and integrating as many children as possible into the education mainstream. The move, which is part of the government's strategy against social exclusion, has sparked a storm of opposition from primary school teachers around the country. Over 18,000 of them have signed a petition against the decision. Teachers say the inclusion of children with special needs into standard classes will inevitably slow the pace of education for everyone and damage gifted children. Yana Shaurova, a primary school teacher, is the initiator of the petition.
Children with special needs are far better off where they are. Special schools have smaller classes and professionals who develop their education fully in line with their individual potential.
Many parents are receptive to this argument, particularly when warned that their own talented child might suffer as a result of this experiment. And the Education Ministry is now under pressure to review the decision. However, support has come from an unexpected quarter. Equality, a UK national support organisation for the Roma, has just released the results of a study showing that a number of Roma children who had previously been placed in special schools in the Czech Republic and Slovakia were successfully completing primary and secondary education at integrated mainstream schools in the United Kingdom.
2 and 3? 5.
How much is 3 times 3?
9.
Dominika Kandračová's parents emigrated from the Czech Republic 2 years ago. She and her 4 siblings now go to school in Peterborough and have no problem keeping up with their class. Her father says the Czech education system never gave her a chance.
They said she was slow to understand and her Czech was poor, so they put her in a special school, and when we went back a year later to ask that they transfer her, they would not have her, so she had to stay at the special school.
According to the study conducted by Equality, the average attainment of Roma pupils aged between 9 and 15 in numeracy, literacy and science at UK mainstream schools was just below average. Only a small percentage of the overall number of Roma pupils, that's 2-4% at the school surveyed, were regarded as requiring special education needs because of their learning difficulties or disabilities that made it more difficult for them to learn or access education than most children of the same age. These Roma pupils are being given extra help within the mainstream school. This is precisely what the Czech government wants to achieve here in the Czech Republic. The outcome of the British study is highly encouraging, though it will take much more effort on the part of the education authorities to convince Czech teachers that it can be done. Overworked, underpaid, and with too many children in their class, most of them simply see it as an additional burden. A reminder that you're with Radio Prague, and this being Monday, we're offering you a roundup of the sports news, courtesy of Dominic Yoon.
The Czech Republic beat Italy 4-1 at the Davis Cup tennis tournament over the weekend, setting up a quarter-final encounter with Serbia, who defeated Sweden 4-1. The first round matches between Italy and the Czech Republic were played between the 10th and 12th of February in Ostrava's Chess Arena. On Friday, number 7 seed Tomáš Berdych beat number 135 seed Simone Bolelli in four sets, while the number 30 seed, 33-year-old Radek Štěpánek, beat Andreas Seppi also in four sets. On Saturday, Berdych and Štěpánek teamed up against Daniel Bracciali and Potio Starace in a doubles game, winning 6-3, 6-4, 6-2. On Sunday, Bolelli defeated number 20 seed František Čermák 6-4, 6-4, while number 78 seed Lukáš Rosol beat number 42 seed Andreas Seppi 4-6, 6-3, 6-4. The quarterfinals against last year's semi-finalist Serbia, the Czech Republic was defeated in the first round in 2011, are set to take place from the 6th to the 8th of April. The Czech national hockey team played three matches between Thursday and Sunday at the Swedish-based Euro Hockey Tour. Only four teams take part in the annual contest, launched in 1996, Finland, Sweden, Russia and the Czech Republic, with matches played across four separate tournaments in all of the competing countries. The latest round, called the Odset Hockey Games, saw the Czech Republic under coach Alois Hadamčík beat Russia 4-0, with an early goal from Jakub Nakladal in the second minute, followed by a second from Petr Nedvěd in the 15th minute, a third from Kamil Krebs in the 23rd minute, and the fourth just 5 minutes from the end of the third period from Petr Koukal. The win came after a devastating 0-7 defeat to Finland the previous day and a 2-1 victory over Sweden on Thursday. Current standings have Sweden in first place with 7 points, the Czech Republic in second place with 5 points, Sweden and Finland are in joint third place with 3 points. 211-centimetre tall Czech basketball player Jan Veselý helped bring his NBA team, the Washington Wizards, to victory over the Detroit Pistons on Sunday with a 98-77 win. Veselý scored 10 points and provided 7 rebounds, a career high for the Ostrava-born 21-year-old. The player, who was drafted to the Wizards in 2011, saw the team up 26-18 in the first quarter, but the Pistons managed to even out the score by half-time, 45-45. Nearing the end of the third quarter, the Pistons, unbeaten for 4 games in a row, were ahead before the rest of the match saw a 22-2 scoring spree from the Wizards. Veselý's teammates Nicky Young and JaVale McGee also had a particularly strong game, scoring 22 and 11 points respectively. Czech ski jumper Roman Koldelka came in second place at the FIS Ski Jumping World Cup in Villingen, Germany. The 22-year-old Koldelka managed a career high, jumping 147.5 and 146.5 metres and earning 270.3 points. The Turnov-born jumper was beaten only by Anders Bardal of Norway, who earned 277 points for jumps of 145.5 and 148 metres. The competition continues on Tuesday and Wednesday of this week.
My thanks to Dominic Yoon for this week's sports news. Now, before we move on to our main feature, many thanks for the greetings we've received on World Radio Day, and I hope you'll be pleased by Christian Favi's selected guest in today's one-on-one.
The varied fortunes of journalist Jan Bednář only began to unfold when he was kicked out of the School of Economics in Prague after signing the anti-communist Charter 77 and compelled to work as a night watchman for several years. The son of a dissident imprisoned for publishing Samizdat literature, the regime was glad to be rid of him when he applied to leave the country in the early 80s. He went to England and was able to complete his studies in politics, philosophy and economics at Oxford University, from where he proceeded to join the Czechoslovak service of the BBC in 1985. Today he produces a foreign politics program for Czech Radio 6. And last week, Jan Bednář was awarded the Ferdinand Peroutka Prize, the highest journalistic accolade in the Czech Republic. On the occasion of International Radio Day, we met with Mr. Bednut in the studio and asked him first to recall how he came to be involved in radio journalism in exile.
I didn't have any experience before that. I just contacted the head of the Czechoslovak service then, and I asked him whether I could do something for them, whether I could work there, basically. And being from Oxford University, he was pleased that I am interested, and so I came, and I learned journalism there, I think. All of what I know about journalism is from there. But so I started translating the news from English into Czech and broadcasting, editing. And most of the time in the BBC Czech service, we translated articles from the newspapers into Czech, and then we read it live on microphone in the studio. And we had similar kind of studio as you have here, and we had shifts. Sometimes I worked in the morning, sometimes in the evening. So that's where I learned about journalism, I think. And that was a few years, I think about 7 years I spent in the Czechoslovak service in Bushaus in London. And then when the Velvet Revolution took place here, I was thrilled, and I wanted to go back. So after a few years, when it was possible, I just left the BBC and went back to Prague.
What was that community in the BBC Czechoslovak section like? I guess it consisted mostly of other Czech expatriates and Slovak expatriates.
Exactly, yes. They were exiles, they were expatriates, yes. It was a community of some older generation, I would say, people who left Czechoslovakia after 1948. That was the communist coup. And then there was another group of exiles from 1968. They were often former communists who became sort of reformed communists and sort of Dubček style. And they left again after the Soviet invasion. And I was yet another generation. I was younger than these people. I was an exile from sort of after Charter 77, which was long after that.
Well, most of our listeners probably won't have ever heard the Czechoslovak broadcasts of the BBC, or you also worked with Voice of America after that.
I did, yes, a little bit, yes.
Looking back today, would you truly say that it was completely impartial, that it was an objective and independent source of information?
Well, I thought it was independent, definitely. And I mean, objective, it wasn't the propaganda.
Agenda. It had its agenda, though.
Sure. But look, first of all, you have to distinguish between, say, Radio Free Europe, Voice of America, and BBC. These are completely different companies and completely different sort of views and projects. If you talk about Radio Free Europe, that was a radio station financed by the American Congress, and it was supposed to be a Czech radio station with predominantly Czech agenda. Voice of America was a radio station which was supposed to explain American policy. That was the reason to explain to the listeners American policies. It was sort of governmental tool, so to say. While BBC was a completely different thing. BBC, all these languages in the BBC, language sections, they were established during the war. That's true. And they were, in a way, kind of during the Second World War, they of course provided the news from London. Different news again, but they were not propaganda. Certainly not. At least in those days when I was there, we didn't try to take sides. Although, of course, for instance, myself, I sometimes thought that I can't be completely impartial, having this experience from Czechoslovakia, having been expelled from the university here, and after this my dissident years. most of my colleagues didn't have this background, so to say. So maybe they were more impartial than me. And I didn't want to be impartial on things like communism and so on. I myself didn't feel like that. But in the BBC, in a way, it was exceptional. I wasn't like most of the people there. They tried to be more impartial than me, I think, in this respect. Anyway, I want to mention another thing, which was important, of course, that all these foreign radio stations, in a way, they provided very important reflection of what was happening actually here, you know, especially in late 1980s, we started to contact people in Prague, and we telephoned from London to someone here, and we were able to record interviews with people here. So these radio stations, like including BBC, they provided some kind of information of, you know, internal events, not only what was happening in the world, but also what was happening here. So that was my experience, and I believe BBC was impartial, and, well, to a certain extent, of course, who is impartial? No, nobody is completely impartial, and I mean, you can balance, you always want to balance various views, or at least both sides, but in a way, you know, how can you balance fascism with, you know, I actually thought about this. We discussed these things when I was in the BBC, and I thought, well, how could I balance, should I have 5 minutes of Hitler and 5 minutes of Jews? So how would I balance that, you know?
Well, this week you won the highest accolade that that a Czech journalist can win.
Seems
in
like that.
This country, and the prerequisites for it are, amongst other things, moral integrity, honesty.
Oh yes.
And responsibility for the impact of your work. You were one of only three people this year to win this award. I'm particularly interested in the latter criterion, more responsibility for the impact of your work over all these years that you've been involved in journalism. When have you had to face that situation?
Well, it's difficult for me to answer this. I mean, I wasn't in a situation that I had a comment for which I would be sacked from somewhere. But this is what is meant. Basically, it comes from the philosophy of this Ferdinand Perotka, who, after whom the prize is named. Of course, it's a very esteemed person here. And he was a journalist who, by his real life, had to endure things which was a direct consequence of what he was doing. He spent all the Second World War in a concentration camp. So what is meant by this prerequisite is, I will tell you in another way. In this country, journalists are perhaps not as very much esteemed as this particular person, Ferdinand Perotka, because many people, I mean, there were many journalists who worked under the previous regimes, and they changed their sides when the government changed, so to say, you know. So what is meant by this prerequisite is that you are not changing your sides according to who is at the moment the political leadership.
Well, lastly, going back to radio, and I've kept you for much longer than I intended to. I apologize, but just going back to radio, what do you believe as a radio journalist yourself? What do you believe is the future of radio journalism from today's perspective?
These will be only my impressions.
Of course, that's all we want.
So I believe in radio as a media. I don't believe it will fade out or something. It will stay, as newspapers will stay, although there is internet and although there is television. There are various kinds of media, of course. And radio, the number of people who listen to radio is reducing. That's the fact. But it will never be zero. It will not go down indefinitely. Because there are things like, you know, driving a car or cooking, when it's convenient for you to listen to something. And then it depends how interesting programs we make. So if we make interesting programs, people will listen to it. It's as easy as that.
Radio journalist Jan Bednar was Christian Falvey's guest on One on One this week, and I hope you enjoyed hearing about his work. Now, in the final part of today's programme, a Czech lesson from Radio Prague's popular ABC series, which we are currently rebroadcasting. This one was hosted by Dean Vuletic.
Hello and welcome to one of the last few episodes of the ABC of Czech, in which we explore the mysteries of the Czech language. Today's edition is dedicated to a very mysterious topic. Our letter is X, which stands for the notorious X-Files or
Akta X,
and the world of secrets and mysteries.
Tajemství a záhady.
Is there life in outer space or are we alone? The universe,
Vesmír,
is a great unknown in this respect. But many of us still hope there is a chance we can find at least some kind of primitive form of life.
Život.
Or even an extraterrestrial civilization.
Mimozemská civilizace.
Somewhere in the depths of the cosmos. On a planet.
Planeta.
Similar to Earth.
Země.
An extraterrestrial is.
Mimozemšťan.
Which is a literal translation of the English word. The somewhat archaic word.
Marťan.
Or Martian. Comes from the old days when people still thought all aliens came from Mars. Czech has borrowed the English acronym UFO for unidentified flying objects.
Neidentifikované létající předměty.
It is pronounced UFO. By adding a suffix, the Czech language has created a name for the living entity which we usually find on board a UFO. It is
UFON.
The most common form UFOs take is that of a flying saucer.
Létající talíř.
Which means a flying plate, rather than saucer. That's enough of spooky vocabulary for one day, but tune in again next for the letter Y. If you'd like to recap today's lesson, go to www.radio.cz/English, where you'll find this and all the previous editions both in sound and text. Till next time.
Naschledanou.
Goodbye, and remember, the truth is out there.
Dean Vuletic with that edition of ABC, and I'm afraid it's brought us to the end of today's programme. You'll find our Czech language course and, of course, all our programmes in text and sound at www.radio.cz. Should you like to write to us, then the email address is english@radio.cz. We'll be glad to hear from you as always. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us today and goodbye.